There's nothing quite like a collector, is there? Those obsessives, whether it's stamps or cars or books or whatever. And you're going to hear our next guest as a more unusual and larger passion than any of those. Tim Entwistle caught up with him at his 79-acre Currency Creek Arboretum as he was giving a public tour of his collection. He's funded and established it entirely out of his own pocket.
Come into the trees where we're out of the wind a little bit in the shade.
Yeah, my name's Dean Nicol. I guess some people describe me as a gum nut or a eucalyptologist, but I like to describe myself as a botanist, ecologist and arborist, specialising in the eucalypts.
Yeah, so it's a specialist eucalypt arboretum. I've been interested in plants, gardening, that sort of thing, since I was about 8 or 10 years old. And that sort of developed more into native plants, and then it sort of became specialised in eucalypts through my teens. I started going around all the nurseries and buying any eucalypt with a different name on it and finding it on my parents' property in Adelaide when I was about 15 or 16 years old, and they could see if they wanted to sell up and retire eventually. They couldn't let me keep planting my trees there. So they sort of bought this property of land back in 1992 when I was about 16 years old. So with the hour and a half or so we've got here, what I thought we'd do is we could wander through this block of trees. These were all planted in 2001. Most of them are from Western Australia, so each block of trees is 1 year's worth of plantings that came from my previous year's year fieldwork.
Now, someone who specialises in eucalypts often sits in a dusty old herbarium studying them, or they might go out on a few field trips. We're standing here, not far out of Adelaide, in the Currency Creek Arboretum. Now, first of all, what's an arboretum and what are we in the middle of?
An arboretum is basically a zoo of trees, and this is a specialist eucalypt arboretum. So it includes as many different types of eucalypts as I can get my hands on, basically.
You'll have to correct me on this. Are there 900, 1,000? How many species are there?
It's hard to put an exact number on. It changes almost from day to day and depending who you ask, of course. But yeah, it would be between 900 and 1,000 odd species and subspecies and varieties of eucalypts.
How many of those are growing here?
Most of them I've tried to grow here to varying degrees of success. There's probably, at the moment, there'd be over 900 different species, subspecies growing here.
Now, Dean, there's more than 900 trees here, though, so that means you've got more than one of each. Why is that?
Look, if I just plant one of any given species, I might have a very poor specimen or I might have an exceptional specimen. So I'm not really getting much of an idea of how it might grow here. Whereas if I plant multiple trees, I get a bit of an idea of the variation within that particular planting. So yeah, there's over 8,000 individual trees planted here.
And you also try to get duplicates of the genetic variation, but you try to make this a scientific collection. There's a couple of other things you do, like herbarium specimens.
Yeah, I've tried to go about it in a scientific manner so that I can get as much research out of it as possible. So all the plants growing here have been collected from seed taken from wild populations with voucher herbarium specimens and all sorts of other information on the soil the tree was growing on and what other species it was growing with. And that way the collections here are fully vouchered, which makes them a lot more useful for research purposes.
Now, you and I know what a herbarium specimen is. Tell people about how you get something off a eucalypt tree and turn it into one of these vouchers.
A herbarium specimen is basically a representative piece of the plant that has been pressed to make it flat and dried so it can be stored long-term in a herbarium. The herbarium specimen ideally should consist of a branchlet with leaves, flower buds, flowers and fruits or gum nuts on it. And it should also have a information label that has the location where it was collected, description of the bark, which can't be included on the specimen itself, of course, and any other information which might be useful in the identification of the actual plant it was taken from.
Now, as we've been walking through the collection here, we've seen some in flower, some in fruit, some not at all, of course, as would be true of any time of year. But some of the spectacular ones seem to come from southwest Western Australia. Are they your favourites, or you got others that you like as well?
It's always the most difficult question. What is my favourite eucalypt species. And that's partly because it probably changes from season to season, depending what's in flower, the colour of the bark of different species. Certainly a lot of the more spectacular flowering species come from southwest Western Australia, the ones with, you know, big red or colourful flowers. But some of the more interesting bark types, colourful barks, come from eastern states or northern species. So I always find it really difficult to pin down what is my favourite species, because what I tell you might be different to what I tell somebody tomorrow.
And we went past one just a little bit back there, and you'll remember the name of it, but from outside of Canberra, with a very greenish bark. Reminds me a bit of Deglupta, which is a rainbow gum. What was that one?
That was Eucalyptus wilcoxii. It's only known from a few populations in Dewar National Park. You need to do a good day walk to find it in the wild. But yeah, it has that really colourful bark that is greenish underneath and more reddish the older bark. And so when it's shedding in the autumn time, it's one of the most colourful barks of probably any tree.
Now, in addition to eucalypts and gum trees, I know you're also interested in measuring trees and looking for mostly big trees. And there's a fantastic project going on in Australia, the Big Tree Register. Have you been involved in that recently?
Yeah, I have. When I first heard about this project, I was really excited myself. The idea of the project is to get people out looking at trees, looking for big, unusual, tall trees of any species. When somebody finds a big one, they nominate it. It goes onto a web-based register, and then other people can go out and search for bigger ones. So it's really about encouraging people to get out and look at trees, you know, look at them, I guess, in a different light. So I was really keen to be involved because, you know, I love getting out and looking at trees any day of the week.
And what's the one you've measured most recently?
Yeah, more recently, I've actually been involved with measuring and taking various information from Cook pines. They're related to Norfolk Island pines, but they're the ones that generally lean. They're quite tall, cylindrical-looking trees with a lean on them normally. And I'm involved with a project where we're trying to find out what direction they lean in different parts of the world, because this species is cultivated all around the world in Mediterranean climates. And they always have a lean. So it's an interesting little project where we're trying to see if it's different in the Northern Hemisphere compared to what it might be in the Southern Hemisphere.
And if I could ask, in 10 or 15 years, if I come back here, will there be more species, or what's the next step for you?
Yeah, it's continually changing here. I mean, you know, the trees are growing all the time, more plantings are going in all the time. So I'm sure it'll look very different in 10 years' time, but I've got no idea what it'll look like.
Self-described gum nut, Dr. Dean Nicol there, talking to Blueprint's roving reporter on all things botanical, Professor Tim Entwistle. There's a link to the National Register of Big Trees on the Blueprint program page. This is Blueprint for Living on RN and across Asia Pacific on Radio Australia. I'm Michael Williams.